Blog Talk Radio.
Friends, a year is ending and a new one is beginning. And burdened though we may be, discouraged with our failures, bogged down with the cares of everyday living, still we can take heart in this blessed season. One little truth can help us along. A simple phrase in a childhood poem: God's in his heaven, all's right with the world.
Frank Sinatra. I found that, and when I found that, I thought of Sue. I thought, you know, we haven't heard from Frank Sinatra. So, now we have. Now we have. All right. He did a good job. He did a really good job. I like his little message at the beginning, you know, because this is a time of year when so often we lose sight of our dreams. And we need to remember not to drop them off the edge of the cliff, but we need to not hold them so close that we get depressed when they don't happen either. Just put them in God's hands and realize he wants us to have our dreams, but we have to have the patience to wait for them. And that's hard, but if you do it, you'll get them. I thought of that this morning right before the show. So hang on to your dreams. Even though it seems like it's never going to happen, don't let go of it. God's got it. just let him have it. Don't keep trying to take it back and control it. You gave it to God, and he told you, yes, you deserve your dreams. So don't keep taking it back. That kind of defeats the whole purpose. Well, hello there, Miss Sue.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well.
Good.
Did you like our opening song, darling?
I missed it. I'm sorry. I was a few
minutes late.
Oh, you
missed it? Well, honey, it's your old boyfriend. It was Frank Sinatra.
Oh, really? Which song?
The Lord's Prayer.
Oh, okay.
He did such a good job. I thought Frank Sinatra doing the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
Hey, this could be interesting. And it was actually very wonderful. It was very wonderful.
Yes, it is pretty. Oh. I've heard.
Yeah, I'm sorry you missed it, but you can listen to it later. It's okay. And I'm assuming, since I'm not hearing any sounds of panic, that everybody can hear my voice. I always wonder about that with this microphone sometimes, you know. But I think we're doing good. And I'm going to believe we're doing good. And I've got some for a little bit later. We're going to play a couple of songs first. But I do have some scriptures that I ran across when I was looking at things online this morning. And I thought, you know, that would be really, really good to read on the air. And I have, I don't know, I call it an end times declaration that, that John sent me. I think he wrote it, but I don't know. I have not confirmed that, but he did send it to me. So I'm sure some of you have gotten it as well, but I am going to read that a little bit later too, and that kind of led me to looking up some of these other scriptures, and it was quite interesting. So I wanted to share that with you when we get to that point. I think you're going to find it very interesting. We all come up with these questions about Jesus' second coming, what it's going to be like, when is it going to, we don't know when it's going to happen, guys. Just get off that subject right now, because right, I'm going to read you the scripture that says, no one knows the time of Jesus' coming, only the Father. And the more you try and figure it out, every time somebody thinks they've got it, he's going to change it. So you might as well just give up and quit trying to figure out when. Just know that it's going to happen, okay? And the scriptures I'm going to read for you today kind of, I know that that particular time and what leads up to that time is very, very scary. But the scriptures I've got kind of take the scary out of it a little bit. Not completely, because it doesn't give us any solid answers, but it has a comfort to it. So I'm going to read those to you a little bit later, and it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Okay. First off, let's go backwards. Hey, it's right next to it. Boy, I didn't have to go very far. Do you guys know who Josh Turner is? That's a resounding no. Okay. He actually, he did not go on American Idol to win American Idol, but he did come on during the finals and help Scotty, oh, what's his name? He won that year. Anyway, this Scotty, whatever his last name is, can match Josh Turner's voice, and he can sing tenor as well. He was a really young kid when he was in his 20s or something when he won this, and he has a career. He's not bang up explosion popular, but he's had a few songs come out, and they were successful. And so I'm going to play the song that was popular for Josh Turner during that time frame. And I was still working at the radio station, so it was probably 6 years ago, I'm just guessing. But Listen to this, Josh. Listen to this guy's voice. You are going to fall in love with this person's voice. He is absolutely fantastic. He is a bass. Not like JD, but he's a bass. And the song is Long Black Train. And John sent that to me last week.
There's a long black train coming down the line, feeding off the souls that are lost and crying. Rails of sin, only evil remains. Watch out, brother, for that long black train. Look to the heaven and you can look to the sky. You can find redemption staring back into your eyes. There is protection and there's peace the same. Burn in your ticket for that long black train. Cause there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Claim to the Father and His holy name. And don't go riding on that long black train. But you know there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Cling to the Father and His holy name. And don't go riding on that long black train. Sounds so good, but I must stay away. That train is a beauty, making everybody stare. But its only destination is the middle of nowhere. But you know there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory.
Yeah, stay away from the long black train. And that was released in 2003 and was on his debut album, and this was his first hit off of that album. And he went from there. So, yep, he got it. He's got it. I'm going to have to talk to you later, Sue, because I got questions.
Oh, okay. All right.
And it's nothing real super personal or intimate or anything like that. It's just curiosity, that's all. So,
okay, well, you want to call me after the show?
Yeah, we'll talk after the show. That'll work.
Okay.
While we're both still awake.
Okay.
That'd be great. Yeah. Yeah, I've gotten into a, I don't know, maybe it's a bad habit. I end up, I'm up at night doing things like I do my show or I read books or do whatever stuff, and I've got the TV on while I'm doing it because I'm just, being the oldest of seven kids, silence is not golden. It's
irritating. Oh, no, I can't handle the silence. No.
So
I have something on.
Yeah, I have movies or I have a British serial on. Right now it's Monarch of the Castle I'm watching. Well, I'm listening.
Uh-huh.
It's on. I'm not even listening to it really. It's just on. But
uh-huh.
I do that things and I, you know, read the Bible, look up verses, do whatever. I didn't do that until today, but normally that's my nighttime activities. And if it's cold, I'll get up at 3 o'clock, as I told you the other day, and make cookies or something, or put a stew together,
right,
or do something silly. But then at least the heat that I'm using electricity for has purpose, and it makes me feel better.
Right, okay.
But I've gotten in, the whole point of this is that I slept until 1 o'clock this afternoon simply because I didn't go to sleep until almost 6 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw it turn. It was a little bit after 5:30, so I'm assuming it was around 6 when I fell asleep. I was awake by 8:30 and took the dog out and all that stuff and stayed awake until, what was it? Oh, golly. Well, I stayed awake till I had the show ready, and I think I finished that about noon, something like that, 1 o'clock. Anyway, so then
uh-huh.
I laid down and slept for another hour. So I feel like I slept all day, but when I stopped and think about it, I didn't really. It's just when I slept good. But people keep telling me, it's so funny. People keep saying, well, you can't reach your REM sleep and do your dreaming and your recuperating if you only sleep for a couple hours at a time. It's like, huh. I seem to dream just fine on a couple, 3 hours at a time. So
well,
I don't know where you're coming
from. Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can. You really can. And I actually feel better and more alert if I only sleep, say, between 2 and 5 hours at a stretch. I feel better when I wake up than if I had slept 8 or 9 hours. So I don't even worry about it anymore. I just figure, okay, I'll sleep when I sleep.
I'll do that too. I'll do that too. It just depends. But I have been, seem to be sleeping a little bit more lately because of my leg situation. But but I'm not taking any medicines for that except for acetaminophen. That's the only thing I'm taking.
There you go.
But,
there you go. There really isn't any medication except pain pills that can do anything. And all pain pills do is dull the pain. They don't really make it go away. And they make you sleep. Well,
yeah, and I don't want that.
Yeah, sleep is okay, but
I'm just on and off like you. I get up all through the night and just, you know,
sleep
some during the day.
It's not like I live with anybody that I have to worry about waking up. And if they were on my same schedule, I wouldn't even have to worry about that. But the dog doesn't care when I get up. He follows me around the house like he was attached. And he is learning how to stay. When I tell him, he has discovered that I got this little quilt for him. He has discovered he likes being covered up. And so he'll come over, and he'll sit right next to the couch where I'm sitting and just look at me. That is his signal that he's ready to be covered up so he can go to sleep. He has really, really taken being covered up. And I got him a little a doggy coat once because for cold winter. He won't keep it on. He reaches around and pulls it off over his head, even when it's fastened. So I gave up on that. But he likes to sleep under his little quilt. So that was pretty cool. That's pretty. I thought,
well,
hey,
it
fine.
Is, but you know, you said it was colder. You said it was colder in your house.
Yes, I keep it colder. I do keep it colder. I don't. To me, if it's between 62 and 66, that's warm.
Yeah. Excuse me just a minute, Jenny.
Hi, Tammy. Gerald just next door just sent me a message and said he thought there was a package on the porch.
Okay. You know what? I am going to read you. Come on. There it is. I'm going to read to you that writing that John sent to me. And like I said, I haven't confirmed whether he wrote it or not. I just know that he sent it to me. So we're going to read that and just take it for what it is, because I thought it was very, very interesting. I've read it 3 or 4 times now. And it says a lot. So listen and see if you get something out of it. And if you want a copy of it, I'll see what I can do about that. Okay? Well, heck, I can probably forward it from my chat that I've got set up with John. Or he can forward it to you or whatever if you want it. All right,
okay.
Here we go. This says, Trump says up to 10 countries set for peace with Israel. Be ready. Bible prophecy is being fulfilled before our eyes. Whether you like President Trump or not, hold your thumbs. This isn't about him, nor do I care to hear it. He was already fulfilled one of the last prophecies in the Bible prior to Jesus' return. Moving the U.S. Embassy in Israel back to Jerusalem and recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel is one of the prophecies that must be fulfilled. No other president in history has done this, but Donald Trump did. We haven't seen nothing yet. What the world is experiencing right now is just the tip of the iceberg. Just in case anyone wonders where I stand, the 7-year tribulation will be worse by far than anything anyone could imagine. If you think this is our last pandemic or natural disaster, you are sadly mistaken. Read the book of Revelation. As a Christian, I've heard about the corruption and debauchery of the end times most of my life. It appears the book of Revelation is unfolding right before us. We shouldn't be shocked either, given the state of immorality in our world. Every day, the boundaries of sin seem to be pushed further and further. The line between right and wrong has slowly been erased by society, television, and pop culture. Witchcraft and spiritualism, New Age belief systems are being celebrated and exalted, even among some professing to be Christians. We have been removed further from the world God created and intended. We need to take this time to reevaluate ourselves. We need to prepare and repent. Jesus will return, just as his word tells us. This is a huge wake-up call, and I am taking it seriously. I want to go home to my Father when my time is up. Until the Lord calls me away from this world to the next, I want to make it clear that I believe in Jesus Christ as the true Lord and Savior. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, was sacrificed on the cross, died for our sins, and rose again. He loves us all dearly, far more than we deserve, and forgives our sins if we repent. His word says, whoever believes in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And you know, guys, I agree with that 157.3%. That just has the ring of truth, if you know what I mean. And I would urge you to take it to heart. don't be afraid, because if you're a child of God, you're going to be taken care of. He's going to make sure you're okay one way or the other. Either you're going to get killed and you're going to go home and you'll be okay, or the tribulation will happen after the rapture and you'll go home and you'll be okay. Don't worry about it. You can't do anything to change it anyway. It's on God's timetable, okay? Only He knows.
Very true, yeah.
Only He knows.
Yeah.
But
you know, the things that I get sent to me, Jenny, excuse me for interrupting, but
that's okay.
All of it from Trump always has, or most of the time, says it will be biblical.
Yes.
And I do believe that.
Yes, yes, yes. And if you all notice, John just put that, what I just read, in chat. So, you know, my assumption is that he wrote it. It's from his heart. And because I know he's very, very spiritual Christian. And it just has the ring of truth. It has the ring of being a guided writing, you know, and God was the one that guided. So you got to pay attention when stuff like that comes to you, because the source is all telling. God sends these things to His children to be shared with His other children. See, not everybody is in the receiving end of these. That takes a gift that God gives them. And when someone who has that gift gives us these writings, these ideas, these revelations that God sends, we need to listen.
Right.
We need to pay attention. I mean, that thing was saying, you think this is bad. Hey, you ain't seen nothing yet, kids. And it's just things are going to get shook up. Things are going to get slid into the ocean. Things are going to get burned by fire. It's just the beginning, you know. Pandemic. There's going to be more pandemics. Don't look for COVID to go away. It's not going anywhere. It's here to stay. It is going to metamorphose into different forms of COVID. But it's not going anywhere. We're not going to get on top of it. All we can do is the best we can to stay safe and deal with it.
Right. But I do believe that when it does go, it will go as quickly as it came.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you might not like the way it goes. Because it comes to my mind that... I don't believe that there's going to be a big old world-destroying nuclear war. But the Earth as it is now is going to pass away. It's going to die off so that the new world that God intends can be created. And that new world will be created after the rapture, after the tribulation, and after the destruction of the world. It's not going to happen with
Listen,
flood.
Listen, there's something else that I heard, saw, and I sent it to Shauna, and I don't know if she could ever get into it or not, but there's something about Elvis and a sword. He will be a man of a sword, and it mentioned Elvis Presley's name, and I sent it to Shauna, and I don't know if she ever did get into it, or maybe sent it to E. I don't know, but I don't have it. I don't know what I did with it.
Well, get off the head, girl, and find it.
Well, I wonder, Shauna.
How's that?
You know what? It has to be Shauna and mine messenger, and I don't talk to her. Send her that many messages, so it can't be that far up. I'll look and see what I can find.
Okay. That would be awesome. I would be very, very interested in reading that. That would be interesting. You know, though, when somebody starts putting prophecies and things like that together with a particular person, you can pretty well discount it. Because we're not supposed to know that stuff. It's just if they say something and it's from God, we'll know that. But to say, oh, this is in the Bible and this person is going to be this. How the heck do they know?
I have no idea.
It's a Bible prophecy. It doesn't necessarily get attached to a particular person in the world. It's just God knows who's going to do it. And God will bring them up to do that. But when they start saying, oh, it's going to be this famous person or that famous person or this evangelist or whatever, I'm sorry, I kind of discount that. Because a lot of times, not every time, I'm not saying everybody, but a lot of times people want to seem important and attach what they want to say to someone famous.
John just said the Bible code.
Yeah, I see that.
I'm not sure what he's meaning. I don't know.
I don't know. Hey, teacher, a little more, please. I'm hungering for knowledge. Okay, And the more I do this kind of thing, the more I want to know, the more I want somebody to tell me stuff. And then I've got a switch inside me. And I do believe God put that switch there. It's his fault because a lot of times, he will tell me, believe this or don't believe this. Take this with a grain of salt because part of it's true. You know, that kind of a thing. And I am very, very thankful for that. But I don't do it. The Lord tells me who I can believe and what I can believe. And that's very, very important, actually, you know. So, okay, let me read these scriptures that I have out here.
Okay.
Because I'm my mind is on that, and I don't want to get distracted and lose everything. These scriptures pertain to the end times. Okay? And that's something that we don't think about often enough because it's scary. It is scary. Do you know that I was 60 years old before I could read Revelation because it scared me so freaking bad I couldn't even read it. Every time I would start to read it, I would just, oh no, oh no, oh no, I don't want to be here when that happens. I don't want to, so I'd quit reading it. Well,
right.
You have to get mature enough in your walk with the Lord to be able to read that and understand that it's not supposed to be scary for Christians. It's just a prophecy of the things that are going to take place. And if you're actually a child of God, you're not going to be scared because he's going to take care of you. And when I came to that realization, then I could read Revelation, and now I have gotten, just in the last couple of years, I have gotten curious about it. I want to know what Revelation says. So it's a process of maturing with the Lord, okay? And he's going to take care of it. So you don't worry about it. You do what you're ready for. It's like they explained it to me when I was a kid in Sunday school, that when you start your Christian walk, you're like a baby, and you're going to get fed on formula and pablum, okay? As you mature in that walk with Christ, you're going to very, very soon, you're going to start eating junior baby food that has little chunks in it, and then you keep going, and when you mature, you can start eating potatoes and gravy and whole peas and things like that without choking. And then you'll be eating meat. And that's how it was explained to me when I was a kid. And when you're ready to deal, God will give it to you. you'll be ready for the meat. God will give it to you, okay? And, yeah, John, believe it or not, is the one that feeds me the meat. And I am so appreciative to have him in my life. Yeah, so you guys, just keep on going. Don't give up. Don't quit researching. Don't quit listening to what God has to say. You'll get what he wants you to have, what you are ready to know. So, all right, first thing I'm going to read for you is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 53, okay? Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now that can mean many things. Some people want to interpret that as saying that we don't have to die. When that trump sounds, if we're alive, we're going to go after the dead have risen. And some say, well, all that means is that those already dead will rise up and be with Jesus, and then we're going to have a wind of destruction come and kill us so that we can rise and be with Jesus. So it's still interpretation. I know that some people are going to say I'm wrong, but I want to believe, whether I'm right or not, only God knows, but I want to believe that those that are still alive will be caught up to be with Jesus after the dead have risen to be with him. That's what I personally want to believe. Only God knows for sure, and we'll only find out when the time comes. So just don't be afraid, because if it comes to pass that we have to die first, that's okay, because it's going to happen so fast you're not even going to know it, because the whole world's going to go all at the same time, okay? So there you go. The second one, well, that's not it. That's a different one. I just had the same. I left the paper in there. Here go. The second scripture I want to read you is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So that's kind of where I come by my belief, is the Bible says that. It doesn't say we're all going to die first. It just says we're going to be caught up with those that have risen already. So believe it any way you want to, any way that's comfortable for you. I have chosen my way, and my way goes with 1 Thessalonians. So it's going to happen, guys. It's going to happen. And it could happen anytime. It could happen anytime. And so I've got, there will be a trump. We will hear the trumpet blow. That's the only warning you're going to get. All these things that are prophesied to happen, we don't know for sure what the last sign is going to be. We don't know when the last sign is going to be. But we're seeing all these signs. We're seeing all these things happen. And you know what? It doesn't matter when, because you're not going to know. only the Father knows. But when you hear that trumpet, it's too late. It's too late to say, oh, God, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. When you hear that trumpet, your time's already been and gone. So then you have to survive after that to be able to be forgiven. And when you die, by whatever means, you would still be able to go to heaven. But you will have missed the rapture. And you may go through all kinds of hell on earth before you die after that. So, guys, now is the time to get your soul right with the Father. Now is the time to have Jesus Christ in charge of your life, to live the way that he showed us we are supposed to live the way that we know the Father wants us to live, to act towards other people the way that Jesus would. Now is the time to do that. If you wait, you could run out of time. So don't be waiting. Don't be waiting. If one of the songs I play today touches your heart, all you have to do is talk to Jesus. And I've been exhorting you to talk to Jesus for quite a while now. It shouldn't be anything new for you. Talk to Jesus. You don't need an intercessory. That, you know, you don't need somebody else to pray the prayer for you. All you have to do is talk to Jesus. That's all. That's all. Ask the Lord and Jesus Christ to forgive your sins. Enumerate them. What, you know, you're not going to remember everything, but the big ones you'll remember. Take my word for it. You'll remember them. And ask for forgiveness for those. And say, whatever small things I can't remember, please forgive me. If I have caused someone else unhappiness or hurt, please forgive me. Because sometimes we do that without realizing it. Now is the time to take care of that. Now, today, is the time to take care of that. Don't say, oh, next week I can do that, or Monday, or no. Now is the time we need to do that, okay? Now. All right, I've got one more I want to read for you. And it's chapter 24, verse 36. And it says, well, I'm going to start back at verse 34, okay? Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Only the Father is going to know when the end shall be. So don't think you can figure it out. You can't extrapolate this information and that information and figure out, oh, the world's going to end in this year or this month. Or like when I was growing up, they would pick a day. The end of the world will come on thus and such. It scared me spitless, I swear, to do that to a kid. I remember 7 years old. I was spending the night with my girlfriend, and they had me crying because the world was supposed to end that night. One thing I'll give my stepdaddy, he stayed on that phone with me for half an hour talking me out of that fact until I felt safe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. You know, my father, even though he was an alcoholic, he had some friends that would come over, and they would all discuss the Bible at the table, and they would
exactly.
all be drinking. And
of
I mean, I could hear things that I didn't want to hear as a child. But that went on for years. You know, they would sit in there, smoke their cigarettes, drink their beer,
talk and getting arguments over the Bible and what it said. And it really upset me as a child.
Yes, it does. It's scary. It's totally scary. And that's the good thing about the Lord God, is that we don't have to be scared of him. You know, he's going to be there with open arms. Come sit on my lap and tell me what's bothering you, child. You need forgiveness for things that you're just not sure about? No problem, sweetie, we can do that. You know, and he's going to have his arms around you, and you're going to be getting hugged. And you just, you guys, I swear on a stack of Bibles that's true. Now, you're going to think I'm crazy, but I'm going to tell you about an experience I had. And you can think I'm crazy if you want to. I don't care. This is true. Okay? I was in church, and I was an adult. I had a 7-year-old son, so, hey, you know what? I was a grown-up lady. It was during the prayer. Before the sermon. It was during the prayer before the sermon. And I was letting them do their thing. I was praying my own prayer. You know? And I was there, and I had my eyes closed, and I was praying very fervently. There were just things in my life I needed to pray about. And so I was praying very fervently, and, you know, all of a sudden, Jesus was standing in front of me, and he held out his arms and reached for me, and I could feel his arms go around me and hug me. I was so shocked, my eyes flew open, and of course that was the end of the vision, but I swear, guys, he's there to hold you. I felt that hug, okay? Maybe it was just the power of the mind. I can't say it wasn't. But I felt that hug when I was looking at Jesus. And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. So always know that you need to crawl on a lap and get a hug. Hey, it's there. All you got to do is do it. You know, so, anyway, I feel like I have said what I needed to say today, and I hope you guys got something out of it, because it's very, very important to know that these things are going to happen, but we don't have to be afraid of them. That doesn't mean we're not going to be afraid. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we don't have to be afraid, because God has us. Okay? There's going to be times we are still afraid. I mean, we're not going to be like Peter. I mean, or John, you know, just, oh my gosh, I wish I could be, but I'm not. I just have to be me. And I know that I will have times that I'm terrified. But I also know that the Lord's going to be there, and Jesus Christ is going to bring me out of that on the other side to have the peace inside of myself to say, you don't have to do that. It's okay. Because the second coming is going to be here, and we are going to be caught up to be with Jesus Christ. So, hey, guys, hold on to that. And please, don't wait. And I know that, like I did when I was a kid, every night, oh, Lord, please forgive me if I did anything during this day that hurt someone, or if I told a lie and didn't, or if this, that, or the other thing. You know, that's okay. But does it really mean as much as being aware of what you're saying and what you're doing and not having to ask for that forgiveness every night? If you can ask forgiveness every night and you can mean it and you can tell the Lord what you repent and what you're sorry for doing that day, that's important. Okay? That's important. But just a blanket prayer of, if I did anything, please forgive me. Well, you need to be aware of what you're saying and what you're doing so that you can be specific, okay? He's going to forgive you anyway. Yes, he's going to forgive you, but he would rather you could tell him what it was you did that you need forgiveness for. Just think about that, okay? Whatever you're comfortable with is what works, okay? I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm just telling you, see if you can work into being specific about the things you ask forgiveness for. And if you ask it every night before you go to bed, there's no problem with that. That's not wrong, okay? So don't think it is, because I used to do it myself. But wouldn't it be better to be mindful enough to know what you're asking forgiveness for? Or to know that you didn't sin on that day and you want to say thank you for the strength to not sin that day? Think about it. Just think about it. Just an idea. But do what makes you feel safe, what makes you feel enfolded in his love. That's the most important thing. Okay? Okay, I am going to, oh yeah.
That was nice, James, for him.
Oh, well, thank you, darling. Thank you. I just want to help people see things, that's all. And if it helps, then we're good. All right, I've got, this is actually an old hymn. Older than I am. Oh, that's a sobering thought. Anyway, probably older than Elvis. And John sent it to me today, and you know he's laughing. John sent that to me today, and it's sung by Rosemary Simons. Simons or Siemens, I'm not sure. It's S-I-E-M. I don't know how you pronounce that. Either way. And the name of the song is What a Day That Will Be.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears. No more sickness, no more pain.
With all of this mess, you know, and what they were saying, and John was saying it too on the chat, the world as it is now is going to be gone, totally gone, and not everybody that is a child of God is going to be in heaven, because he's going to restore this earth to paradise. And there will be many that live here on his earth, which will be made his kingdom as well as heaven. And that thought makes me smile. That thought makes my heart happy.
Oh, yeah. It's been in the Bible so many times, heaven on earth.
Exactly. Exactly. You got it, girl. You got it. Because that's what it is. Is this earth will pass away. How? We don't know. God knows, but he's not talking. Okay, not on that subject. He's not talking. And
but I do believe there could be another earth as well.
Oh, honey. Okay. You touched on one of my pet ideas. Is the fact that, okay, everybody says God is limitless. God can do everything. God is everywhere. And I believe that. I do believe that. But then traditional Christians narrow it down to just us on this one planet. Isn't that limiting God? Isn't that saying that all the vastness and millions and billions and trillions and zillions of galaxies he's created mean nothing? They're not important, just this one skimpy little planet around this one sun in this one galaxy? Hello? I'm sorry, I can't do that. I can't limit God like that. Do you know how many innumerable planets have life that he created on them? How many innumerable galaxies there are for the opportunities of... Okay, I'm getting excited. You guys get the idea, though, you know? Don't limit God. Don't limit God. We have uncountable brothers and sisters throughout this universe and parallel universes that he has created. Maybe he was bored. I don't know. But he created all of it. And you know, he's not just going to create us on this one little planet in all that space that he has populated. Think about it. Think about it. If it was just us, as they said in the movie, Contact, that'd be an awful waste of space. And I don't think God would do that. He has a purpose for everything he creates. And I know there's other life abundantly sprinkled throughout the universe that God has created. And you can argue with me all day long, but you're not going to change my mind, because I just firmly feel that and believe it. Yes, he created us. Not a problem. He created us, every one of us. But he also created every other form of life throughout all the universes. Okay, now you see where my mind has gone, right?
Yeah.
Being a science fiction buff since you're 6 years old and being afraid to offend God at the same time leaves your mind in very strange places. But I've thought about that a lot over the years of my life, and I really do believe that. I do believe that. We are not the only thing he created. That would be a waste. So, if you believe me, fantastic. If you don't, that's okay too. Everybody has to believe what they're comfortable with and what God tells them is right. This is something I've been told is right because I'm not going to limit God. That's just how I look at it. That's how I look at it. Okay.
You know, Jenny, can I bring up something that has bothered me? I want, since we're talking about this, it has bothered me, but my dad became ill at the age of 50. I was 25 when he actually died, but he had heart problems. The night that he died, he was sitting on the bed, him and my stepmother had just finished having a sandwich, and he was reading the Bible to her. It was Psalms something, I don't recall. Have it written down somewhere, but he actually just killed over in the bed and died. That was his fifth heart attack.
Oh, my God.
I always wondered why he was reading the Bible and died that way.
Well, what better way to go?
Well, true, but...
He's there, he's reading God's word, which means he's very close to the Lord right at that point in time. And
once he got sick, I mean, he always read the Bible.
Yeah.
Trying to figure it out. But then when he became ill, he read it more. And he really got into it then. But you know, he died at a young age. He was only 52 when he died.
Well, but you know what? That's how it was planned for him to go. But the thing is, it makes my heart happy to hear that he was reading the Bible when he had the heart attack. That's how God meant for it to happen. And I would just be totally thankful that he was actually in God's word and being close to the Lord when it happened. Because you know where he went when he died. You know his soul left his body and what happened to it. So I think that's very fantastic. That is a good plan God had for him. I think that's great. And I think it was a good plan for you too. Because you know that he was God's child when he died. And it happened so quickly. Yes, he had been sick, granted. But when you die from a heart attack, if it's a good heart attack, if there is such a thing, he's not going to have to deal with anything like that. And he was basically reading God's word and talking to God when it happened. I think that's actually very wonderful. I think that's very wonderful. You know, my ex died of a heart attack. He was walking across the kitchen floor and just, that was it, killed over dead. I have to wonder about the state of his soul. How close was he to the Lord? He'd been playing in a band in church, but I know from past experience that doesn't mean much with my ex. So he loved music so much, he would have done that for the music. I don't know if it touched his heart. I don't know if he was actually a child of God at the time or not. I will never know until I die and go home. I'm not going to spend time worrying about it. It wasn't up to me. I had nothing to do with it. I tried the years we were married to lead him to the Lord, and I couldn't do it. He wasn't ready. I hope that it was a good indication of him being ready when he was playing the band in the church. I hope for that, but I don't know. So I'm just going to let it go. Let it go and let it be. It's in God's court now. You know, so I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. He was a grown man. He made his choices, and it's between him and God. So I'm not going to worry about it. So that's one thing. With John, I don't have to wonder. We all know he's a very spiritual Christian man. And I don't have to wonder what's going to happen to him when he dies. I don't like to think of him dying. I really don't. It hurts my heart, but we all know it's going to happen. But he's right with his Lord. He's
what
right
is he doing now?
I don't know. He's... Okay, John. Okay, I get you. You can't help but adore that guy. Okay, let's get back to music. I have spouted and I have twisted your ears off long enough today. Let's do something. Let's do something fun. Should we do something fun? Okay. Now, y'all gonna like this. This is... It's John's fault. That's what it is.
No, he's throwing your train of thought off.
Hillbilly Gospel. Here we go.
What you got to do with
Lighthouse?
Take this thing, Lighthouse. I don't have Lighthouse.
I don't
either.
You know, I fly away.
For years I tried to get my life together, but those sad old country songs wouldn't let me be. Till Jesus heard my cry, he said, son, there's no use to cry. Just bring your old guitar and follow me. 'Cause I know there's no hillbilly heaven. There's no honky-tonk angels around God's throne. You can't sing his praises on Sunday, sing the blues all week long. 'Cause when Jesus changes your life, he'll change your song. You can't find a place to pray while you're on a dance floor, and you can't keep your eyes on Jesus while you're looking through a bottle of wine. You're just drifting farther away with every song that old jukebox plays. And there'll be no altar call at closing time.
Yeah.
'Cause I know there's no hillbilly heaven. There's no honky-tonk angels around God's throne. You can't sing his praises on Sunday, sing the blues all week long. 'Cause when Jesus changes your life, he'll change your song. Friend, when Jesus changed my life, he changed my song.
Totally cool. I like that. Totally cool. Yes.
Very country. Very much.
Very, very, back heels.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. How are you doing today, Sugar?
I'm Sugar?
Yeah.
Oh, it must be nice, but hey, I'm doing wonderful and amazing. I just wonder how you are doing. I'm doing better than most, worse than a few.
Well, I've been sitting here bending ears, and everybody's been listening to me, which really shocks me, but that's okay. I hope they got some good information out of it, because I was just on a soapbox going to town.
Well, you know, I was flying high before I came in here, and so I just went even higher because of this desire that I have. And you know how love is. Love generates love. So if that's true, then when you're receiving love, it's expanding, it's growing. And when you're growing in the knowledge of who you are and God's love for you, that's amazing and wonderful, true love. And you ever had an assault placed upon the existence of the love inside of your heart?
Oh, of course. Haven't we all?
Well, you know, I mean, we've all had many assaults placed upon the existence of the love inside of our heart. But with each assault upon the existence of it has proved one thing, first and foremost, and that is that this love is genuine, true love. And that puts a smile right back on your face so you can continue to do what you do. And you do what you do because that's what matters most to you, obviously.
Yep, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And the reason you do it is because you love doing it. So,
well, you know, that's, you know, it's like people can change, you know, because sometimes people make mistakes. Mistakes are inevitable. You know why you can't rely on your feelings all the time? You know why?
Because you're an idiot.
But you know what? Yeah. People that rely on their feelings all the time make mistakes that are inevitable. We're all going to make mistakes. But at the moment of realization that you're making a mistake or that you're about to make a mistake is an opportunity for you to put your faith in God. And then and only then will you be able to learn to trust him in all these areas of your life through Christ who came to strengthen you in the inner man so that you can do something that is productive. Being a productive member in society isn't what man thinks, it's what God thinks. And since God changes what we think, what we say, and what we do because we stay in his word, because when you can hear him, then you can rest in that because that would be the truth and not what man says. Man attacks the truth because man's the adversary. Who are the adversaries? This is the spiritual. There's the religious system here, and the people that are sucked into the religious system are the ones that are hurting for the truth. But somebody's tickling their ears and they're listening to man, what man says, and man's making a profit off of these people that are ignorant of the truth. And God today is calling these people out from underneath that bondage that their fellow man has put on them into the truth where they can rest in the knowledge of who they are in his love right now, today in the 2022.
Yep. That's exactly right. If you listen to man instead of to God, honey, that's why I don't go to an organized church any longer. It's kind of like I would sit there and I would listen to this preacher up there, and the only thing he had that I didn't have was that he had gone to seminary and got a piece of paper that said he graduated and knew the Bible. Well, you
that's
know what?
That's why he drives a Mercedes Benz too, and his kids got one too, and that's why his kids go to the best of the best. That's why he's got the biggest screen TV. That's why he's got the best of the best because you give to him. And man's a liar.
I
you have to remember when
that.
God said to Cain, where's your brother
preacher.
Abel?
No, slow up the truck, honey. Pat, you got to back that up and repack it. Not every preacher has money like that. I'm talking about your neighborhood church where the guy drives an old Ford that needs fixed. He lives in a house provided by the church. So that he doesn't pay rent because he doesn't get paid. Now, honey, I have 5 preachers in my family, so I know what I'm saying. What you're
those
saying
are the
is not
of Christ.
True.
Those but are the actions of Christ, what you're talking about. Actions of Christ are being patient with people when the Spirit's teaching them the truth and love, just like he taught you. God was patient with you when you were shooting your mouth off and you didn't know what you were saying. And the Holy Spirit had to show you, look,
I don't
look,
very
look,
often
look.
Because I just give it. Oh, I just give it over to him, and what falls out of my mouth.
Well,
is what
that's
he
fine.
Puts I don't do that, but not every, honey. Like I say, not every preacher has the things, nor did they get them the way of the preachers that you're talking about. Not
well, I'm talking about what's happening
like
right now.
But not
right
every
now
preacher
is a testimony.
Like that. I have my nephew just became a preacher like 3 or 4 years ago. He has his own church, and the board just now gave him a raise to $1,500 a month. So you can't tell me he's going to buy some big fancy Porsche and drive around and have a big old house.
I ain't talking about that guy. The higher he climbs in that religious system he's in, which is limited identity, by the way, the higher he climbs in that religious system, the more chances are he's not going to have an encounter with the truth, because those lies they're thick, and people get sucked into it. The ones that are poor people and the ones that are sick and needy, those are the ones that have to cough up the money.
Okay, we're going to stop talking about this because you're getting on to something that I know you're wrong, okay? And you don't want to listen to me saying that, and that's all right. Okay, I'm sorry. He hung up. I made him mad. But he's making blanket statements that he can't take them to the bank, that's all. So
right.
Well, I know my nephew. I know my cousins that are preachers, and not one of them has the attitudes or the money or anything like what he says. They're all helping the poor. They're all looking out for people that need help with food or clothing or something. They're all doing that through their church. And he's looking at the big guys that are screwing people over, and he's not looking at the real picture, and I'm sorry for that, and I upset him, but that's too bad.
Who was that, Jean?
If I recognize the voice correctly, I think that was Alan. He was a friend of mine when we both worked for the radio station.
Okay.
And we were almost going to be more than that, but it just didn't go there, so that's okay. But he's a real nice guy unless he gets fired up, and then he wants to defend his position. Okay, I understand that, but you have to see the other side of the coin. You're not 100% right in what you're saying, and he couldn't deal with that. So that's all right, and he may never call me back again, and that's okay too, because he has to see that he's not 100% right. He's only right for part of the ministry, you know, and it's a small segment. So it is what it is, and that's how it goes. And I'm sorry I upset him. I'm sorry I made him mad, but I believe what I was saying because I know the people I was talking to. So anyway, there we go. Let's hear an Elvis song, and It's a good one. John has even given me this one to play before. It's I, John.
Well, if I just saw my number way up in the middle of the air. Well, I just saw my number way in the middle of the air. Got to find it. Well, I just saw my number way up in the middle of the air.
Where the lights are, I want to die.
through that, because it was he was being confrontational, and he just has to feel the way he feels he needs to be, and that's just how it is. He'll calm down and it'll be okay. So I'm not worried about it. I haven't spoken to him until he started calling the show. I hadn't spoken to him in over 7 or 8 years, so I'm okay with it, guys, whatever needs to happen. But I was just trying to let him know there's another side of the coin, and he's only looking at one. So I understand there are people like he was describing, but there are also people on the other side of the coin that do it correctly the way God wants it. So you just, maybe it'll be up to someone else to help him see that. I can't acquiesce to an idea that they're all like that, you know, because I know it's not true. Okay, let's do something. We got, let's see. Hello, hello. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Oh. Anybody want to hear Sister Rosetta? I mean, I wouldn't want to put upon you something you didn't want. You want to hear Sister Rosetta?
Yes. I'm sorry. I was
no,
bleeding.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
I'm sitting here waiting for Anne's reaction. She's funny.
She says, oh,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah, what are you asking me for? Just do it. Yeah, I know. all right. John sent me this one this morning. It's Can't No Grave Hold My Body Down. And this is 1956 that she did this.
Can't no grave hold my body down. Hold my body down. It was early one morning, just about the break of day. The angel came from glory and rolled the stone away. But when the women came alone and they found that the Savior was gone, you know, can no grave hold my body down. one morning, and oh, grieve, hold my body down, oh, yeah. When that first trumpet sound, don't you know I'm gonna get up on the ground, yeah, I can't no grieve, hold my body down.
I really like that. Okay. She's anybody
so cool.
Want to hear?
She is.
Yeah. Oh, she's so good.
She is.
So good. She was even better, but now she is, you know. The world lost something really special when she died, you know, really, really did.
Oh, she's somewhere doing her thing.
Oh, yeah.
I bet
the angels are rocking.
Oh, yeah.
This lady would go into a bar, and she'd get paid to perform, and she would perform gospel music, and everybody loved it. Hey, now that's special. That is really special.
Certainly.
That's cool.
A lot of those are roaring times, don't you know it? That was
fine,
I'm sure.
Well, Elvis used to run home from work. It probably was work, but he used to run home from school in order to not miss her radio show. So,
that's right. I've heard that before.
Yeah, she was an influence on him, and pretty good one. All right, how about J.D. and the Stamps?
Always good.
Always. John sent this one to me. It's an old hymn called Blessed Assurance.
Just of God.
It's, you know, they're not the only one that can do harmony like that. The Statlers, the Oak Ridge Boys, the, hello, the other quartet, the Cathedral Quartet, you know, it's, but it amazes me every time I hear it. Every time I hear it. Those are my favorites. Those four quartets. Oh, well.
Those are good.
Oh, my gosh. It's like, okay, let's play another one. Okay, let's play another. You know, every time I listen to it, it's like, let's play another one. That wasn't enough. Let's, you know, so. Oh, yeah.
He
Speaking
did
of,
something fun early this morning about 3 or 4 o'clock. I was listening to Cookie, and I asked her how long it was going to be before she thought she would get out of the hospital, and she said about 2 weeks, and he said 2 weeks, and then he said, oh, 2 weeks equal 14 days because he spelled it wrong.
Yes, exactly. A Keekly show.
Yeah.
Keekly show. Yeah. Okay. I understand Keekly. Should I be concerned about that because I understand it? Yeah, that
well,
is possible.
It was funny. He liked it. He was
stunned
as himself. He said, because what is this anyway? And then he made it into a funny thing when he said 2 wigglies
uh-huh.
equal 2 weeks.
Exactly. And he won't let it go. He keeps using it. So, you know, he likes it. I like it too. I think it's totally awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's cute. It's very cute. I have to remember that instead of using the word week, just use the other one.
A Keekly show, a bi-Keekly show. I love it. Uh-huh. I think that's so cool. All right. Hey, another bass. Now, you guys know I love bass voices. I love baritone voices. You know, tenors are okay. They're kind of necessary. They're just not my thing. Anyway, Tennessee Ernie Ford. Now, when I was a kid, he was my favorite. He was my favorite. He was the only real bass I knew about when I was a kid. And here is, I would watch his weekly show, his Keekly show, and he always ended it with a gospel song. Now, back then, that was different, you know. In the 50s and 60s, that was different. But I guess it was the 50s. But anyway, this is Tennessee Ernie Ford. Bringing in the sheaves.
Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dew eve, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadow,
fearing neither clouds nor winter chilling breeze.
That's fine thing.
By and by the harvest and the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing.
Everybody join us.
Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Going forth with weeping, sowing for the Master. Though the loss sustained, our spirit often grieves. When our weeping's over, he will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
cool. Do you guys know who Blake Shelton is?
Oh, yeah.
How can you not know Blake Shelton, right? I mean, if you watch The Voice and you watch, yeah. Anyway, he's good. He's good. I have heard he's a nice guy, but who knows? I don't know the guy, so I really can't say. But anyway, John sent me a song by Blake Shelton last week, and I didn't get around to playing it, but it's a good song, so I'm going to play it now. It's called Bible Verses, and it is so true. It holds so true for so many of us. So here you go. See what you think.
I never worn a halo, don't suppose I ever will. As far as saving me goes, it's a battle up a hill. But I keep climbing, trying, fighting. Got a King James in the dresser, and I take it out sometimes. But Lord knows I ain't measured up to what's inside. And they say that that's okay, that I keep praying for the day that I can open up that good book, and heaven don't look like it's out of reach. When it feels like those apostles are giving me the gospel and not the third degree, I just wanted to read like Bible verses, and not the Bible verses me. I woke up in last night's clothes, and it's whiskey on my lips. If God's looking down, I know He's really looking down on this. But I have faith that I can change. I keep praying for the day that I can open up that good book, and heaven don't look like it's out of reach. When it feels like those apostles are giving me the gospel and not the third degree, I just wanted to read like Bible verses, not the Bible verses me. I'm just trying to give myself a little grace till those words and me get on the same page. And I can open up that good book, and heaven don't look like it's out of reach. When it feels like those apostles are giving me the gospel and not the third degree, I just wanted to read like Bible verses, and not the Bible verses me.
Been clear all day, and now it's raining. Okay, I thought I was gonna be able to seal my stair railing tomorrow, but I guess not, because now it has to dry out again. Okay, that's fine. At least I got it all cleaned up. Looks good.
Good.
Now, if I could seal it so it would stay looking good instead of getting all black and crusty again, that would be a thing. okay, here's something that I like this, you know. this basically just kind of locks in with how God accepts us. He puts us on his lap and says, okay, talk to me, girl. What do you need? And this is Cody Salter is singing this. Jonathan Story is playing the keyboard and the fiddle, stuff like that. And then Chris Goodman is playing the guitar. And the name of the song, John did send me this one as well. The name of the song is He Looked Beyond My Faults and Saw My Need.
Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just how he came to love me so. He looked beyond faults and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that taught my falling.
He gives us. He doesn't count our faults, especially after we've asked forgiveness for things we've done wrong. He doesn't count what we do that's wrong, not after he's forgiven it, but he sees what we need. He sees what we need and provides it for us. Because sometimes we just see what we want. Well, a lot of times that doesn't count. It's what we need that counts. So I try and remember that. not always successful, but I try. Hey, you know, it is what it is. Okay, I've got, it's just some reminders for songs that Elvis sings. And the few that I didn't get to today, I will do tomorrow. Well, not tomorrow. I will do them next Sunday. There aren't very many. I didn't do. I think there was two of them that he gave me this morning that I didn't play. So we'll do it. We'll do it. And it's not there. How did I enter that? There we go. Okay, I found it. kind of toss up here. Okay, it could start this way, it could start that way. Did I do it this way? So anyway, this is something that I like to listen to because it reminds me, especially when I'm sitting here by myself, which is all the time, but when I start to feel alone. And this reminds me that I'm not. I have people who care about me. I have people who love me. I'm not ever alone. But this is what I listen to remind me of that.
When you
comforted by that. Not only the song, but the fact E's voice is singing it to you. I mean, how can you not be comforted by that? There is so much meaning and so much feeling in that. Well, it's one of my favorites at any rate. So there you go. Okay, guys, I have 9 minutes left. And wow, it went by
all.
Exactly my feeling. But I spend a lot of it talking to y'all, you know, just bending your ear, and I hope your head don't hurt.
Well, no, I enjoyed it very much. Maybe some
thank you.
But I did.
I hope so. I'm so glad that you can say that. Because the whole point is that I don't write anything down. And I've told y'all this before. You know that. I don't write anything down. When I read something like what John sent me earlier, like yesterday, day before, something like that, I know that has to be on the show. So I put it in my word processor and whatever, make it so so that I can read it on the show. I ran into those scriptures that happened to dovetail right with that. I ran into those this morning when I was on YouTube looking at stuff. And of course, when you're looking at gospel, you're going to come up with other things that are related to gospel and the Lord and the Bible and all that. And I came up with those scriptures were in one of the two, I think, two of the articles that I read. And when I read those, then it's like, zing, God just kind of takes a hypodermic and shoots these things in my brain to fall out my mouth. And I'm just thankful he does it that way. I was going to take the time to write things down and choose my own Bible verses. I would be putting too much of me into it. I don't want me in it. I don't want me in it. I want God in it. I want it to come from God, from Jesus Christ, from where it's going to make a difference. I don't want it to come from inside of me. So I just kind of let it flow. And if it helps somebody, if it makes your day better, if it makes you feel peaceful and good, that's wonderful. And thank you for telling me thank you and that it helped you. But it came from God, okay? Because, like I said, I don't write anything down because I don't want it to come from me. I don't want it to be from something I wrote. Now, you guys have probably, if you've been watching my Facebook page, you see some of the stuff I write. There's stuff from 3 years ago, stuff from 5 years ago. I wrote those things that I put on there. But so I can write. I have ideas. I know how to do it. But I'd rather not put it in my Sunday message. I want that to be from God. So if it helped you, thank the Lord, because that's where it came from. It's not from me. It's from God.
Thank you, Jane. Thank you.
So you are totally welcome. I will just always be available for him to put words in my mouth. And I'll just kind of spit them out at you and see what happens. I made somebody mad today, but you know what? I don't want to operate on seeing only one side, and I did see his point. I knew what he was saying, and what he was saying was true for a certain segment. But I also had to make sure he knew that there was another segment that that was not true for. And he was so worked up, you'll see it later. You know, he wasn't willing to see it then. He was wanting to make his point. Well, that's okay, as long as you're willing to listen to the other side, too. So, he'll calm down. He'll calm down. And that's okay. That's okay. I'm all right with it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to freak out about it. We're good. We're good. So, hey, guys, I want to thank you for being with me today, for being with the Lord today, for letting his ideas stream into your mind and your heart. I hope it helped you in some way. I hope you got something valuable out of it. And just know that you're loved. You are really loved. You have people on this earth that love you. You have the Lord that loves you no matter what. Remember that, and you're going to be okay. All right? I've got, I want to thank everybody in the chat, because that was very interesting. And I want to thank John for writing that piece that I read, plus the fact that, you know, I appreciate the fact that if I get off on a tangent somewhere, he lets me know about that. If I am off of God's word and I'm just spouting my own theory, he lets me know about that, and I do appreciate that, and I hope he continues to do that. It helps keep me grounded. So yeah, I think that is a wonderful, wonderful thing that God put someone in my life to do that. I think that's wonderful. And thank the rest of the ladies, because it was an interesting conversation. And thank you, Sue, for being here with me through the whole show. I do appreciate you so much, darling. And I am very, very glad. Well, I'm very, very glad that God has made us friends. I do like that.
Certainly.
And Victoria, thank you for coming in and sitting here so patient and just listening to everything that's happening. And you did take part in the chat, too, so I thank you for that. I hope you all had a good 2 hours and that it gave you something that God wants you to have. That's what I hope for every gospel show I do. So now, to sing us out, Elvis is going to sing If I Can Dream.
Ah, oh, beautiful.
Yes.
There must be lights burning brighter somewhere. Got to be birds flying higher in a sky more blue. If I can dream of a better land where all my brothers walk hand in hand, tell me why, oh why. There must be peace and understanding sometime. Strong winds of promise that will blow away all the doubt and fear. If I can dream of a warmer sun where hope keeps shining, oh, heaven be one. Tell me why, oh, why. Thank you. Good night.